In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It would be interesting to know the backstory of each of the 10 lepers in today's gospel. The Bible doesn't really tell us much of anything about them, not even their names. But I am sure that they all had a tale to tell about how they ended up in their current circumstances. Each one of them had been expelled from the life that they had previously known. Each one of them were outcasts, cut off from family and friends and society by this contagious skin disease that they had. Where would they sleep? How would they eat? Maybe food was brought out and left for them. Maybe they had a way of getting food for themselves. But the Old Testament law of God Himself said that they were to live outside of the city and apart from the community. If anyone came near them, they had to warn them of their uncleanness. They were isolated and alone. And yet here in the gospel, we see that in fact they are not alone. They are isolated together. They all have the same ailment, and so they are drawn to hang out with each other. Something that otherwise might not have happened in regular life. Even normally estranged Jews and Samaritans are here together. They are a community of those who are all in the same predicament. They are a fellowship of outsiders, finding at least some comfort in facing their disease together. And it occurs to me that in many ways, this is precisely what the church is. We all feel isolated in one way or another, sometimes by afflictions of the body or the mind, which cut us off from others, sometimes by the duties and obligations of life that consume most of our time and energy. Always, though, we are isolated by our sin, which alienates us from our neighbor and which divorces us from God's presence. We are indeed a motley gathering of people who might not ordinarily hang out together except for the fact that we all know that we are broken in body and soul, that we don't really fit in or belong in this fallen world, that we are outsiders looking in from a distance at the life which we were originally created to have. And in that isolation, we gather together and are united. A fellowship of those who hope for deliverance from God and a better life and healing in Jesus. So in the end, we are exactly like the lepers in their prayer. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In fact, we've already prayed that more than once today. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And we'll continue to pray it later in the liturgy. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. That is our only hope. Who knows how the lepers heard about Jesus, but the good news had gotten even to them. Their prayer may have proceeded from a very weak faith, perhaps little more than a cry of desperation. But it was directed to the right place, to the one who truly is merciful, to the one who hears our cries and our prayers, and whose mercy endures forever. So we must learn to be like these lepers here, not to give up calling on the name of the Lord for help, but to have confidence that He will answer us for our good. For the temptation exists for us to grow weary of that, and to look for our primary fellowship in places other than His church, and to put our hope in something other than the mercy of Jesus. With the God-given institutions of family and church breaking down, various identity groups have risen to sort of fill that void. People who define themselves primarily in terms of their ethnicity, or their sexual proclivities, or their political ideology. See, the truth is, everyone needs fellowship. Everyone really is a leper looking for some community to belong to, even if it's just by sharing a common hobby or a sports team to root for or a favorite bar to have a drink together at or a social media interest group to be a part of or a child's athletic event to cheer at with other parents. But we should never fool ourselves into thinking that those things can give us the deeper fellowship that we need and crave, when they really only dull the symptoms of our brokenness for a time. These worldly fellowships promise a place where we can just be ourselves. And yet so often they can end up becoming a diversion and a distraction from our greater need for divine mercy. Well, of course, there is no distracting or pretending with Jesus. No call to just look on the bright side and have a positive mental attitude and manifest your truth or whatever the current gobbledygook is. Now, Jesus deals with us as we are, decaying and dying. And he calls us to live by faith that in him there is real hope and real healing and real fellowship to be had as his followers. He tells the 10 lepers, go and show yourselves to the priests. That's what you do when you believe that your leprosy is cleansed and healed. The thing is, though, nothing at first appeared to be any different with the lepers. Outwardly, they looked exactly the same. But they believed the promise implicit in Jesus' words that in fact things were no longer the same. And it is written that as they went, they were cleansed. In other words, as they held to Jesus' words and traveled down the road in that faith, they were healed. And that's really how it is also for you and me. Jesus comes to us with our leprous spirits and declares to us, you are clean. You are forgiven. You are holy. Sin and sickness, death and the devil no longer have any power over you. And yet it may not look to us like or feel like anything much has changed. By all appearances, it seems that we're still dealing with the same old problems and challenges. But what has changed is that now we have the words and the promises of Jesus to hold on to. And he does not lie. His words are true and powerful to accomplish what they say. And so we walk by faith, not by sight. And as we journey, believing Jesus' word, we are cleansed and saved and made whole. And down the road, on the last day, our faith will turn to glorious sight. And we will see that what Jesus said was indeed true all along. Our bodies, together with our souls, will be fully restored, flesh and spirit, and glorified in the presence of Christ. And we know that Jesus' words deliver these things to us because of the destination of his journey. Not only were the lepers to go to Jerusalem to show themselves to the priests, the gospel says that Jesus himself was going there too, to be our great high priest. The 10 went to get a new lease on life. Jesus, however, went there to give up his life. His very purpose, in fact, in coming into this fallen world was to make that ultimate priestly sacrifice to release us from sin and suffering, from death and the devil. Think about what Jesus did. He came into direct contact with our contagion, and he breathed in our sin-poisoned air. He allowed himself to be afflicted with our afflictions in order to save and rescue us. As it is written, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. It's important to us, for us to remember that when Jesus comforted someone, he took their sadness on himself. When he healed someone, he took their sickness on himself. When Jesus forgave someone, he took their sin on himself. And the good news is that Jesus has done that also for each one of you. All of the weight of the whole fallen world was laid on Jesus' shoulders, and he carried that load to the cross where it perished with him. Your sin and sorrow and sickness have been entirely overcome, left dead and buried in the tomb from which Christ arose in triumph. And so what that means is that believing in Christ, you really have everything now. Through him, you have healing, even in the midst of sickness. You have holiness in the midst of brokenness, victory in the midst of things which overwhelm you, and even life in the midst of death. By faith, you have it all in Christ. And that truth will be revealed to all creation at the close of the age. And so that's how Scripture can speak of giving thanks to God always for all things, giving thanks to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in this way, the Samaritan leper is our example here. He goes to the true priest, bowing before him, worshiping him, giving him thanks. This is really what divine service is all about. Recognizing the Lord as the source and the giver of every good gift, receiving those gifts with thanksgiving, and glorifying him as the leper did with a loud voice. And that's a reminder, by the way, too. There's no need for you to be bashful about speaking up and singing out in church. This then leads us to one final thing here. Jesus, we do have to deal with the fact that Jesus asked sort of a haunting question near the end of the gospel. Where are the other nine? He might ask of us today, where are the other 60 or 70 who aren't here this weekend, who didn't come back to give honor to the source of their life and the source of their healing and joy and hope and every good thing that they have? You know, it's not as if Jesus gets grumpy when he doesn't get a proper thank you. That's not the point here. But he is saddened by the great harm that we do to ourselves when our heart is attached more to the gift than to the giver, more to the creation than the creator. You know, you wonder what happened eventually to the other nine. Scripture doesn't say at all. But the one thing we do know and can learn from today is that it's the outsider who got it right. The one with nothing in himself or his lineage to boast of. The one who was just overwhelmed with thanksgiving for what Christ had done and who bowed before him as the living temple of God on earth. So let us all then bow before the Lord this day. Let us kneel at his feet at this altar, where he is truly and bodily present to cleanse leprous sinners like us. Most of you know that one of the names we use for the Lord's Supper is the Eucharist, which is from the Greek word for thanksgiving. For as we receive the life-giving body and blood of Christ into our mortal flesh, our hearts are filled with thanks by that, and our mouths speak forth that thanksgiving. We declare in the liturgy that it is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to God for his mercy in Christ Jesus, and especially that he gives himself to us here individually in the sacrament. This, brothers and sisters of Christ, this is what binds us together in a true and lasting and eternal fellowship, this communion, this receiving together of the medicine of immortality, this flesh and blood of Jesus, which restores our flesh and which gives us new life. So right here is the fellowship that you seek. Right here is your identity group. You are Christians. You are those who call out to the Lord Jesus for mercy and who receive it from him with a resounding thanks be to God. So listen again to what Jesus said to the Samaritan, for he speaks these words also to you today. Your faith has made you well. Your Jesus has saved you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.